Hi, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily today. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And we're continuing our discussion on LDS founder and prophet Joseph Smith this month. And people both in and outside of the LDS church can find it difficult to believe that in the early 1800s, God did in fact call a prophet again to lead his people on the earth. And for some reason, it can be largely easier for people to accept Moses or Noah or Abraham as prophets who both saw and spoke with the Lord and saw miraculous things happen. But LDS historian and co-editor of the Joseph Smith Papers Project, Mason Allred, is here with us today to discuss the different traits and experiences of Joseph Smith that do in fact qualify him as a prophet of God. Thanks for being here, Mason.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So you've studied several documents and journal entries written by Joseph Smith or written by others relating to his life. What has been the most revealing document that has led you to learn the most about him?
I think for me, it still is probably the King Follett sermon, which is a great model of how these documents work anyway, because it's sort of an amalgamation of four different diaries that are kept, sort of minutes from this talk he gives towards the end of his life. And so you have all these different ideas and doctrines brought together in this kind of last big speech, you know, before he's gone, the end of his life. And I can always turn to that sermon for strength. It's just so full of beautiful treasures. And it's like he says in itself, in the talk itself, Joseph says, it just tastes beautiful. It tastes true. And that's how it's been for me. So I think you have there Joseph who's being sincere and just laying out all these wonderful things that he's learned that he's trying to share with his followers and friends.
Mm-hmm. There's so much information that conveys, and I've read part of it and really find a lot of comfort in that. So revelation, receiving revelation from God is obviously a huge trademark of prophets that he calls. What are some other qualities that Joseph Smith had that are similar to prophets from the past?
I mean, I think you're right. One of the huge things that Joseph is very capable of doing is turning to the Lord for answers. And it doesn't mean that he didn't turn to the sort of knowledge of the day. He didn't. Mm-hmm. It's not like he didn't read books. He had quite a few, we know. He'd learned from other people around him. But he definitely was very capable and very ready and willing to turn to God for answers that would then actually oftentimes transcend what was the kind of contextual knowledge around him at the time. And so I think that is very much the hallmark of a prophet to me, prophets of old as well. He's able to tap into that and get this kind of direct line with God for himself, but then that spills out into his calling as a prophet of restoring the church and bringing back all these truths that the people need. So I think it's easy to do, and this was done even in his day, to make these kind of comparisons to earlier prophets. When you think about someone like Moses or even like Noah, they have these huge tasks mm-hmm. that are given them. And they see them, of course, as divine tasks given them of God. And while they may have some trepidation towards that, and we see a little bit of that in even Old Testament with some of them, the way that they stand up to these and try to fulfill them, I think, is very much the hallmark of a prophet. Also, I think, you know, Joseph's dedication to his followers, I think his love for his followers, you can definitely see his love and dedication to his family, but it's the same thing that you see emanating from a lot of the documents that when he's dealing with those who are listening to him and seeking to follow him, he does try to, you know, sort of give them all he can and bring them to the level where they can understand what he's saying. And it seems like it's almost very frustrating at times too, mm-hmm. when he's frustrated with the language, you know, this kind of broken, crooked, scattered language, as he says.
Uneducated language.
Yeah, and I think it's tough for him to take these spiritual impressions, experiences, no matter how clear or unclear they may be, and then to get them into a way that these people can understand what he's talking about. And I think he's frustrated with that, but I think that's what a prophet has to do. A prophet's got to, you know, go to the Lord and get what we need for those around him as well, and then find a way to get that to those who are also seeking truth. Mm-hmm. And you see Joseph grappling with this and doing his best to do it, and I think he's quite successful often. But I also think it's a difficult process. And I don't know if we give him enough credit for how difficult that is. You know, they carry that burden and Joseph's doing it. He's doing it verbally, of course, but he's also doing it now in these written texts and sometimes printing it as well. Mm-hmm. And so he's a prophet in the sort of modern age, but that's certainly something that I think connects him to some of those older prophets as well.
And there's a lot of things that we're not going to understand fully in this life, why Joseph Smith did certain things that he did or why he conveyed himself in a certain way. Just because of our understanding and our context and our perception is so much different. Something that the LDS Church that has been a lot more transparent about recently that a lot of people are finding interesting is talking about things like polygamy and the seer stone and different things that might be controversial back then. But especially as it relates to translating ancient documents. How does Joseph Smith compare to other prophets?
Yeah, it's not like these things are unheard of course. I mean, you're right. Some of these very strange elements of Mormonism, early Mormonism, of course, when you look at the seer stone, you know, we just don't use those today, and they can come across as very foreign.
Mm-hmm.
Plural marriage. But it's not common, and of course the church doesn't practice it today. But of course there are antecedents to this. That's right. I mean, if you look back at other prophets, these are things that he, at least personally, is seeing as... it's his responsibility to restore these elements and bring them. And there's certain gifts he has with the seer stone. There's certain things that are brought to him, he would say, from, you know, godly messengers who have told him to do these things. And it's part of this whole package he takes on to restore.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's no way to completely explain these and I think you don't want to explain them away either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important when you approach these to come with a certain humility and a certain openness to the past being a very foreign place already. But then when you're talking about, you know, a history of a religion coming out of different contexts, you got to be open to some of these things being just weird or off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Initially. I mean, you just can't. They seem so strange. And I think that can help instruct us. And like I said, to come with a certain humility and a certain care and even respect for not just the historical figures, but also the context, because we just don't know and you can't ever fully know. But what it can do is it can sort of shift and adjust and mold your understanding of the past. Or even for people who believe in Joseph Smith, maybe their testimony or their belief in him can actually change over time. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And if you're going to study history, if you're going to study Joseph Smith, it might accelerate that process where you are now faced with this fantastic opportunity to have all kinds of new knowledge about Joseph Smith, all kinds of new information about Joseph Smith, and some of that may be initially very uncomfortable because it's going to shift what you've thought and what you've been taught and what you may have heard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that everything you heard was wrong, but it may bring new light to the table. But details of how things happened, or, you know, stones or Urim and Thummim or printed texts being revised and changed or revelations being revised, I mean, these things can happen and we know they did. So I think it really does help us to gain. I think we're in a position today because we're faced with all this information and we're in a new media internet age. We are in a position that is just absolutely revolutionary for our knowledge about Joseph Smith, which can be translated into criticisms and fault finding, but can also just as easily bring all kinds of new insights and light to our understanding of him.
And I think your testimony, or just testimonies in general, are very malleable things, and they're supposed to grow with you. And it was Elder Hugh B. Brown who said, a testimony has a very short shelf life. And we can't let, not that it's stale information, but we can't let the basic information that we've always known just stay the way it is. We have to let it grow and flourish and change with the new things that we read about. So for someone who might be questioning their testimony about Joseph Smith or struggling with some doubts and some confusion, how can they read the Joseph Smith papers and have it be a testimony strengthening experience versus a testimony weakening experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. For those who believe or want to believe in Joseph Smith and are experiencing doubts or have come across information that is really disheartening or uncomfortable, and it's historical information, the Joseph Smith papers is the place to turn to because you're getting the documents themselves. This is the closest we can get to showing you everything that is known about what Joseph's doing and around his life. So we're giving you the best we possibly can to get you as close as we can to that man. Now, oftentimes it is just that man. It's not always just that prophet. Mm-hmm. So these things can be difficult and uncomfortable. But I think the Joseph Smith papers is one you can turn to because we strive for transparency and we strive for just the highest caliber of scholarship as well. And because we don't tend to speculate and throw in our own theories and write the story for you, we're giving you the chance to look at what's actually there. And this is great because oftentimes problems come when you've read, you know, someone's blog post about this, or even you've read some historical work on it, you know? And so to peel that apart and go inside to the actual guts of what's happening there and look at the documents, what that does is empowers you. And I don't care if you're 10 years old or if you're 50 years old or 80 years old, it empowers you. That's as close as you're going to get to what's actually happening. I want everyone to just know how helpful this can be and how empowering this is because it's right there on the internet and it's free. And you can jump right on, you can see the actual You can see a scanned image of the actual original, and you can see that TypeScript, and you can work with those yourself. If you're having doubts, partially this is because of this wave of information we've gotten. And so I think those need to be validated, that some of this is difficult. And it does look very different than possibly what you heard, you know, in primary or in your family or whatever. And these are people who also might have doubts themselves who taught you that, because they weren't out necessarily to dupe you, right? They just, it's, we're learning so much right now that we're having these sort of growing pains, I think, as a church. I think if you get to his documents, you see his brilliance and his calling, but also his love and his intelligence just shine through in some of these. And at the same time, you'll see how human he actually was. And he himself talk about this, and it becomes very apparent. And this is really important. I think through the Joseph Smith papers, it becomes very apparent that this is not Jesus Christ. This is not a God. Okay, this is Joseph Smith, and he knows that, and he wants you to know that. He's a human with mistakes and faults. Mm-hmm. And warts and all, he was able to bring about all these amazing things, which I think makes those even more amazing when you look at it in that light, as a human working as a prophet.
And I think it's amazing and comforting for us as Christians to realize that the power of Christ in our lives allows us, despite our flaws, despite all of our shortcomings, we can still do great things with God.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, Mason.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your words. For more information on Joseph Smith and his calling as a prophet of God, you can visit josephsmithpapers.org. And for blog posts, podcasts, and videos on his life and ministry, you can visit mormonchannel.org. We're going to end our episode today with a quote by former president of the LDS Church, John Taylor. And he said, "Joseph Smith, the prophet and seer of the Lord, has done more, save Jesus only, for the salvation of men in this world than any other man that ever lived in it. He lived great and he died great in the eyes of God and his people. And like most of the Lord's anointed in ancient times, has sealed his mission and his works with his own blood." Thank you so much for listening today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.